B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
I'm Leo. I like partying, having a good time, and going to the beach. My dream woman is any size, as long as she loves me and has a good-looking body and face. Most romantic thing I've ever done was for someone who's getting this tattoo. She wanted me to get the tattoo because I loved her. One of my dates ended up getting very sick on the drunk. She ended up showing up drunk and stuff, and it was a total disaster. She ended up throwing up, and I didn't really know what to make of it. I gave her a ride home and everything, like, brought her up to her butler and stuff, and let her go to bed. The weirdest thing about me is that I love Marvel comics and movies. My most treasured possession is the ring from Lord of the Rings that gets, like, caught and has the rings. My friends would describe me as a martial arts enthusiast. Something I would like to try is focusing my intelligence to become able to use all of my brain. If I won the lottery, I would spend my money to, like, help the poor and the sick, to build hospitals and more, like, vaccines for everyone. My celebrity crush is Miley Cyrus, because she has the same birthday, like, day for day as I do. I'm a sucker for women with blonde hair or people that love me. I could not date a girl who loves other women or other men. You should date me because I am welcome to any women that love me. I'm Leo.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv, search 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can also get the Sports Hub app. Go ahead and get that. A little tired today, I am. I had the acupuncture yesterday. Big on the acupuncture now. Because, again, anything that can be done to me that requires me to do nothing, I'm a fan of.
Can you fall asleep?
Now, what does it feel like? Yeah. I mean, like I've never done acupuncture before, and from what I hear, like, one little needle in your back or something can make a different part of your body feel phenomenal. Like, I don't know how that works.
First of all, for stress purposes, they're supposedly pressure points in your ears. Where they can, or whatever the hell it's called, I don't know what they call it, but they stick the needles in your ear, and then my right shoulder I threw out a few years ago, so I said, why don't you pop some in there too? I mean, we're just dealing with insurance at this point, so just have at it. You know, do what you got to do, and then.
But needles in the ear? Like, what do you mean? Like around the outside of the ear?
No, they put them in your ear.
Ooh, really?
Not like in your eardrum, but in your ear. Oh yeah.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, baby. Stick them right in there. When I was in rehab, they would put 5 in each ear.
Oh, I've never heard of that before. That's kind of rad.
Oh, yeah.
And what does that feel like? I mean, so I take it to the top of the ear. What does that feel like?
It hurts. It can hurt when they first do it, but then it doesn't hurt anymore. You can't really tell for the most part. And then they stuck a million in my right arm or shoulder, and then a couple in my arm and hand, and then on my left side, a couple in my hand and arm, and then my legs, different points in my legs. And then you lay there for about a half an hour, and then you roll over then I rolled over on my side in this particular one, and they did my right shoulder again. But if it does something, I don't know if it affects your sleep, if it gives you crazy dreams. I'm not positive everything. I mean, it's covered by insurance.
What's it supposed to do? Like, when they tell you why they're doing it, what are they telling you?
I don't know. I don't know what it's supposed to do.
It unclogs your chakras? I mean, what happens here?
But, it could involve the chakras, but it's funny, but the throat chakra John, what's good for that is lavender. Frankincense opens up a chakra. Pine opens up a certain chakra. Oh, I have them all in my car. I can bring them for you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you got in touch with your chakras?
Uh-huh.
Sure. There's two in the stick.
Oh, Rich, that's foul. I mean, we're talking about chakras, and you're putting it to the lowest common denominator.
Apparently. So, yes.
So I'll tell you how I know about my chakras, is that there was a gentleman paid by the rehab facility. He went to Yale, and he had a pendulum kind of thing that he would take his left hand and put it down, and then he would hold with his right hand this pendulum, like on a chain, and the pendulum would sway either front to back or side to side. If you're on Twitch, you can see my hand illustrating this to John. And he would ask the pendulum, this is the man who's paid, would ask the pendulum about your individual chakras, I believe... six chakras. There's crown chakra, third eye chakra, throat chakra, heart chakra. There's one in your belly. There's root chakra.
Where's the root chakra?
Like your butt, like the base of you if you were sitting in a meditative area. And so he would ask the pendulum about your chakras, and if it moved a certain way, it meant that chakra was open or blocked. And then if the chakra was blocked, he would suggest a crystal, what you should eat, and a scent that could open the chakras.
Does your BS alarm ever go off?
Yep.
Okay.
But the thing is,
I was about to say, with this kind of stuff, it's like, unless there's a part of you that just goes, you know what, I'll do anything because I want to buy all in on this, and there's part of you that drowns it out. But I gotta think there's that voice as they're telling you this stuff with their pendulum and chakras. You're like, dude, what are you trying to sell me here?
There was a guy, he was like 19, he was a good kid, but he goes to him, how does that thing work? He goes, well, I programmed it. And he goes, what, with a computer? He goes, no, with my mind. And then Rich, my BS detector went off, but I figured, what the hell?
Sure.
Now, the chakra thing, not him doing the pendulum stuff, but the chakra thing, I'm thinking, why not? I mean, you know, whatever. I mean,
try anything, and if it works, it works.
If it works, it works. So, and again, acupuncture is free, and if they're going to do, and you know, it's been around for centuries. So, so that's not BS to me, but the, obviously the pendulum thing is. And then he did this thing where, and it's funny, like listening to people after, but where we laid down and you like closed your eyes and it was a guided meditation, and then he stopped. And this is a guy who's paid, so I'm fascinated by this. And he sat in like a lotus position on a chair while we were laying down, like, and he was doing stuff with his arms and was concocting spirits in the room. Like, and he kept telling us, like, the spirits are, like, this is all for good. Don't worry. Like, nothing bad's going to happen. Like, the spirits are like good spirits. Like a Casper situation, I'm guessing.
Sure, they're friendly sprites.
But I did, and then, so we were in different groups, so you didn't do the same thing as everyone else every day, but people eventually would do it. Mm-hmm. And then you'd see them, and they'd be like, Twan, dude, oof, like, that's legit. And you'd be like, what are you talking about?
Honest to God, have you ever been to a house where a guy, like, sets aside a room and makes that be the meditative room? Ever been to one of those?
No, but I would love to have
it. I've done that. My out visiting family about 5 or 10 years ago went out to Seattle, and this guy had a house on Puget Sound with, like, one room looking out over Puget Sound. He set, like, took all the furniture out of one room, threw around, like, assorted beanbag chairs or whatever, and would sit there with crystals lined up in front of him, like, in a row, and look out over the Sound for, like, 3 hours.
Well, he was meditating.
I understand that. But for 3 hours, and he'd hold up the crystal to the light, and you're sitting there, and you're like, really? You got to be kidding
me. Yeah, the crystal
this
stuff.
This is nuts.
But meditation is legitimate science. So that's...
Sure. But
do not Now, we're taking big leaps here. There's meditation, and then there's a guy programming a pendulum that tells you where your chakras are.
Yeah, the crystal guy was more along the lines of the pendulum guy because he never lost consciousness. He'd hold conversations while looking at the crystals.
Back to the guy releasing spirits into the room.
Okay, we can talk about that.
Did he start talking to the spirits, or was he telling you what their names were?
No, that would have been where they were from? No, that would have been silly. No, that would have been ridiculous. No, he would sit there.
One like a flapper from like the 20s, and the other one was, I don't know, Cleopatra's ghost, and then you had like a guy who was like a centurion. I mean, like, where are they from? Like, what era?
I don't know.
They're ghosts. They could have been from any time, you know?
I don't know if they're ghosts or they were spirits or what have you, but... You know, whatever. But I will say this, is that in terms of crystals, which I don't believe in necessarily, but if someone gave me crystals, if I went to somewhere and they gave me crystals, I'd keep them. But, I mean, in church, you eat a wafer and drink wine, and that's supposed to technically, like, you know...
But that's symbolic, right?
Not for some people.
Catholics actually believe that is the body of Christ. It's transformed to that.
Yeah.
How are crystals symbolic of anything?
They're believed to... Well, I don't know enough about it, but they're believed to have powers that open up your chakras, which I don't believe in, but it's no more asinine than eating a wafer and drinking wine and having it turn into Jesus in your body.
You weren't in the room with me where the guy was looking at the sun through a crystal and saying, I have opened your mind.
Well, no, the only reason you think one is stupid and the other one isn't, if you don't think both are stupid, the reason you would think one is and one isn't is because your entire life you've heard about one. That's the only thing.
No, I understand what you're saying.
No, I'm not talking to you, Rich. No, yeah. And I don't believe in any of it. I don't believe in that stuff, but... You know, if I was to be given crystals, I wouldn't throw them away. I'd keep them. I don't know. You got to see, the thing is, I got it in this point in my life. I'm 45. If I don't start doing it now, I'm going to end up dead just when I'm older, like, you know, hopefully at an older age and be thinking like, oh, God, I just waste all this time. So the idea, I guess, is in those scenarios is just keep... Now, when he was waving around at spirits, I was like, this is... I mean, it was funny. I mean, it was funny. Yeah. You weren't supposed to be looking at him, but I couldn't resist. But I mean... What am I going
to
do?
I guess, you know? To me, when the biggest BS alarm would go off, it wouldn't even be about when people tell you these crazy ways that apparently help you. It would be the minute they try to turn that into a monetary collection. When they start trying to charge you for upgrading you, then it's like, all right, what are you trying to do here?
Well, but that's the thing is that I always talked about it when I was in rehab with people about imagining his job interview. Like, what do you do? Like, well, all right. I can conjure up spirits and, like, make them dance around or whatever the hell I was doing. And they're like, okay, how much you want? I mean, that guy was paid.
How many spirits per hour can you conjure?
It was part of the curriculum. Like, he was paid. And, you know, you would go to one session that was about, you know, going back to your family and your relationships with your family and the family dynamic. And then the next session would be this guy conjuring spirits. So, and then he did numerology. Which I was Sammy Hagar. I was like, hell yeah. But he did numerology. Yes, indeed. He did numerology. And then it's like, it's got to be some kind of parlor trick because, like, everything was factually correct. It was all stuff like, you're going to talk. It was like, you're.
Numbers.
It was like, your skill is. You know, the way you make money is public speaking. Like, it was all this stuff that was factually correct, but I have to imagine it's written in a vague enough way that you can kind of, with the right kind of suggestion, believe that it's about you. You know what I'm saying?
You kind of start getting a look into, now I can see why certain people join cults. Like, yeah. Sometimes somebody can say something in such a convincing way and kind of, you know, pick and choose these right. facts that you are tough to dispute. And then next thing you know, you're drinking the Kool-Aid and you're at these meetings and things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can see how somebody can easily be led from one place to the next and not even realize they had gone that far in.
But this guy is Yale educated. I'm not legitimizing the spirits or anything, but that's not what I'm trying to do. But it's interesting because he's like Yale educated, yeah. and you know, this guy who was doing all this stuff, you know, professionally, then he had a little down period involving, you know, whatever, cleaned up, and then here he is now, and it's like, okay, well, there you go.
Well, somebody just said, wait until Brady comes out with TB12 crystals. I'm sure it's not far from now.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. If he can sell you nuts for $5,000, I wouldn't be surprised with the crystals.
But somebody said, I wonder if he put the Boneyard Druids down as a reference.
Hey,
can
hey,
those spirits.
Hey, hey.
It's the Boneyard match.
Yeah. I dig it. Can you dig it? Yeah.
That is still one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
Yeah, ridiculous rights. Super mm-hmm. freaky. Super spooky.
It was spooky.
But, yeah, that was a couple of the things.
How do you feel after the acupuncture? Like, how do you feel better?
Well, yeah. The whole point of it was, if I don't know if it screws with your sleep. I don't know what it does. It does something. I don't know what it legitimately apparently solves pain, but I can't tell. And then the thing in your ears, I guess, is supposed to help. But you know, while I'm there, they might as well stick stuff in my ears if I'm just laying there. So I don't know. I don't know. Acupuncture, there is science behind it, so I'm whatever. And then, I mean, I'm not going to do it every day, but the meditation stuff is very legit. That stuff is exceptionally legitimate, which is essentially what prayer is anyway. I mean,
well, so yeah, it's a calming. It's a calming thing.
Right,
even if you don't know, even if you're not into, you know, finding that emptiness and that voice and everything that, you know, when you achieve what pure consciousness, even if you don't believe in that, you know, there is something healthy about calming yourself down.
Well, and also if you look at MRIs of people's brains, and if you look at when they can scope brain activity, you can essentially rewire the neurons in your brain. And you, with enough practice see, what it does is it makes you not able to remember. with meditation, being present, if you can
okay.
work on being present in that very moment that you're thinking, like you're in that exact moment, it does expand gray matter. That is a fact. It actually does enlarge your brain because your brain's constantly shrinking and expanding.
Mm-hmm.
It can grow gray matter. And with enough practice, if in times of stress, your brain can, it calms down quicker.
Somebody said, talking about spookiness is getting me pumped for the best skit of all time. Who is the spookiest member of 98.5 The Sports Hub? We have to wait till Halloween to do that one.
Got a couple of months. No, 1 month. Sorry.
We could do it today. I could lead in with my story. We could do
no,
it.
I don't know. I think we saved that. I think it's a Halloween special.
Okay. We can do that. All right, Rich. What happened last night? But I do suggest meditation in any form. I mean, even get the Calm app. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good.
A mm-hmm. Calm app is good.
Yeah.
I have that.
Yeah. I mean, if you can sit and be present for 10 minutes, that's a very good mm-hmm. exercise. All right, go ahead. What do you got?
All right. I can't believe we're going to talk about these guys. But even when the Red Sox win, they lose. We'll get into that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Touch. Fletcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Fletcher and Rich.
I was watching SportsCenter this morning on 98.5 The Sports Hub is what we're on. And they did something that's going to make you, Rich, and made me, because I've seen it, make your skin crawl.
Yeah. Okay.
I never watch SportsCenter, but I get up way earlier now.
Uh-huh.
And I just was like, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I doing this? They showed about 3 minutes of highlights from the basketball game last night.
Uh-huh.
And then they went into this prepackaged, or not prepackaged, it was live, but they went into this thing and it's just, oh my God.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Can I just guess, does it have to do with the greatness of LeBron even though they lost?
No.
This is football related.
No, that would have been, you could think of it. Okay, in sports, what's the corniest thing going on? It's been going on now for over a year. But
I partially just gave it away.
In terms of a storyline, in terms of like silly gooseness.
Oh, I guarantee you I know what it is. It's got, because I think I saw some of this yesterday. It's the story about Garner Minshew talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it's who's got better hair, facial hair. Is it the beard or the mustache?
Correct.
I knew it. I mean, people have mustaches, all right? People have beards. It's not insanity, and I've said this 1,000 times. I bet half of the Jacksonville fans have mustaches just like Garden Minshew, non-ironically. That is a facial hair of choice for people, and beards, my God, the beards are just, people have beards. Get over it. Everyone's freaking out. Oh, Fitzpatrick's got a beard. Yes, human beings have beards. It's a normal thing you see on the street. It's like someone got hit by an asteroid. Like, oh, my God, can you believe this man grew something? He's got a beard.
Man.
Oh, I hate that. Really? They did a segment on that?
Yeah. And poor Nicholas is in the other room trying to be cool with a mustache. Like, it's just, I had a mustache in 2006. When
even
we came
I
here.
Had a mustache, for God's sake. I mean, my God.
Yeah, the like, if you look at bands, and because I was, you know, looking at some music last night, and bands, like, you don't go, oh, wow, that guy has a beard. That's not something that
like beards, like the mustache thing, whatever. Go to a bar. Just look at a bartender. I mean, people have mustaches. They do. But a beard, like, now you want to talk about really, really reaching. I mean, think of all of the people you know, like all of your friends who are guys. I would guarantee you, Fred, that probably 30% of them have beards.
I have a beard.
I have a beard. Joe Murray's got a beard. Nick sometimes has a beard.
No,
he's got
Nick,
a stash.
Nick's
right
got
now.
A stash. He's trying hard.
Yeah. So about
Nick's
30%.
Trying to get there. He's dressed like he looks in terms of facial hair and what he wears as a hat. What I was wearing in 2006. So good for him. He's 14 years, like, and I was probably his age 14 years ago. So young Nicholas trying his best. But yeah, they did Raleigh Fingers or James Harden.
Oh, my God.
But James Harden has a beard.
Like, I don't even really think of James Harden having a beard. That's just, he's had it. It's like, all right, by the way, one thing, it is funny.
Jamal Murray has a beard.
Have you seen James Harden without a beard? That's pretty funny.
Yes.
I mean, he looks like Urkel.
Yeah. Well, you know why he has a beard. Yeah, Jamal Murray has a beard. I'm looking at him right now. LeBron James has a beard.
One thing that's legitimately funny about beards are people who've always had them when you see them without them. So, like Matt Patricia, that's the funniest. Matt Patricia without a beard just looks like a nerd.
Yeah, he's a nerd. He's a big nerd. Yeah, that's why he has a beard. I mean, I have a beard because I have no chin.
I have a beard because I'm lazy. Yeah, like, well, I just hate to shave.
I have no chin. I haven't shaved in so long. John Butchergrass has a beard, and he's up there. Is that Butchergrass?
No, I don't think that's Butchergrass.
Well, whatever Butchergrass's guy is, the other guy that looks... No, that's what... I don't know what his name is, but the dude on SportsCenter has a beard.
Yeah, like, as I said, at least 30% of the people that you're probably friends with, if you are a man, have beards. Like, why are we still, in 2020, having our mind blown by facial hair?
I don't know. But there it was.
Unless it's a cool John Wallach evil goatee, then now we're talking.
Well, he was Casanova. I mean, he was going for something. He was going for, like, the pencil thin.
You know, the amazing thing is, even before you said, you know, he's Casanova, Rich had already hit play on the button for this music.
Oh, that's Dan O'Brien in the other room.
Oh, Dan. Hey, great timing, oh, yeah, Dan. Dan was ready.
John, I get that at the ready for you.
he was going for the Ralph Tresvant or whatever the guy's name is.
That's it, Ralph Tresvant, lead singer, new edition.
Yeah. Yeah, he was going for that, like, pencil-thin situation. We all tried. We all saw these guys.
I never tried that. I never tried the goatee. That's one thing I'm proud to say, that I never had the pencil-thin goatee or anything like that.
Oh, I had everything.
You were missing out, is what you were doing.
I've had everything. When you got this face, you gotta cover it up any way you can. All right, give me some quick Red Sox here. What do they screw up?
All right, because even when the Red Sox win, they lose.
It would help Pivetta immensely.
There's that high fastball.
Swing and a miss, and he puts him away. That's strikeout number
wow,
eight.
Wow, action packed.
And that the crowd the goes wild.
And you wonder why people aren't watching the Red Sox. Yeah. Well, listen. Hey, Rich, why are you talking about the Red Sox? Because they can't even win properly. Some, like Wallach, might say, hey, this new guy, Nick Pivetta, and his Red Sox debut look pretty good.
I've always thought Pivetta would be good. They got him in the Brandon Workman trade with Philadelphia,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, who cares? Well, then I say, dummies, what the hell are you doing? Because yesterday, Jeff Passan announced that despite speculation that this year's draft order was going to be like a combo of last season's record with this one, which would have given the Sox a pick not near the top. It would have been like a mediocre one in the teens. Passan said yesterday that it's highly likely that the draft order would be based on this season's record alone. So right now, the Red Sox, they're currently tied with the Diamondbacks for the third worst record in baseball, and they hold a tiebreaker that would give them the third overall pick in June's draft. But with five games to go, it looks like no one's going to touch the Pirates. They're all but certain they're going to get the number one spot. But if they stink it up the rest of the way, the Sox could sink below Texas, who is right behind them with the second worst record, but no, they had to win last night and F up their chances. So, John, you were saying that getting in the top two this year specifically is huge because of the two guys who are sitting up there, right?
Apparently, there are two stud pitchers at the top of the draft, and both of them pitch for Vanderbilt, the alma mater of one David Price, by the way. Mm-hmm. There are two guys. There's one guy's name is Kumar Rocker, who had a no-hitter with 19 strikeouts in the Super Regionals of the College World Series last year. And the other one is Jack Leiter, who is Al Leiter, a former Major League pitcher, his son. These two guys are considered to be locks to be the top two picks in the draft, and they're considered to be stud pitchers if you get them. And
so
of
this
course,
is a big deal. There is a drop.
Falling
a significant
into the
drop
top
from
two
second place to third
would help because, boy, do the Red Sox need pitching. So it would be very helpful if they got one of these two guys. There are other pitchers that can be taken in the top 10, according to what I read, but these two are the closest two to locks to make the majors.
What are there, five games left, John?
Five games left for the Red Sox, yes.
Okay, five games left, and the way it looks is as if the Texans have two more losses, or Texas, rather, have two more losses.
The Sox are two out with five to go, yes.
All right, so they just got to blow it. Like, they got to do everything they can to not win a game and just cross your fingers that Texas, you know, gets a couple W's here and there. I mean, because they're screwed if they continue to, like, stop trying to win games. Like, right now, at the beginning of the season, fine, but right now, just suck. Please suck. Make it worth our while. The one thing you can actually hang your hat on is if they're able to get in that top two. So, even when they win, they lose.
The good news is Texas plays Arizona tonight, so Arizona tied with the Red Sox for the third worst record.
Well, there was talk of the Cardinals should have been tanking to get a power bat because all they got is pitching. They could be a good trade partner for the Red Sox if the Red Sox had anything to give up.
All I know is the last time the Red Sox had made a trade with St. Louis, they got robbed. So I don't think they're going to mess with the Cardinals again.
Oh, you didn't like Alan Craig?
No, I didn't like Alan Craig at all. No, I thought that lack of trade was did not work out well for them at all. No,
and Alan Craig, it was his foot because I loved Alan Craig.
Joe Kelly and Alan Craig for Lackey, right? That was the deal?
Yep, pretty much. Yeah. And Alan Craig he had a hurt foot because he was a good hitter. But he couldn't get healthy. All right, Rich, we'll be back. What will we talk about?
Well, big Celtics game tonight. On top of that, we got more news about what this next year's NBA season is going to look like. You're going to be waiting a while, it seems.
All right, we'll be right back here.
Back. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, last night's Lakers-Nuggets game resembled something from a certain Eastern Conference series.
1 minute to go, and the Nuggets are right back into the series. Murray gets a pick from Nikola Jokic, high left side, takes a long three, jumpers up and in! The Nuggets lead it 111-99 in game number three, and Hastings, this thing is over!
All right, well, tell me if you've heard this before. Team goes up by 18 in the third, only to have their lead cut almost all the way down by mid-fourth. That's what happened to the Nuggets last night. They led by 18 through three quarters, but LeBron did what he does, and Rondo did what he does now. Next thing you know, a 19-2 run has the Nuggets lead down to three with only 4 minutes to go, but as you heard right there, then Jamal Murray went off the way he tends to do and helped put the game away. I love that guy. 114-106, the final score. Just like the Celtics, they are down 2-1. And just like the Celtics, you know, they had a pretty much a last-minute play that determined everything. You had that Anthony Davis three. Anthony Davis, I think, only had like 2 rebounds yesterday. It was really odd game for him. But while everyone's been watching the last four teams play basketball, the league has been trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do once this is all done. Now, we heard whispers of a December 1st start date to next season, and then it was, well, it's going to be Christmas Day. Now, according to Commissioner Adam Silver, we may not see the next tip-off till 2021.
My best guess is that even though, as you said, it'll be the 2021 season, that season won't start until 21. We said a week ago or so that the earliest we would start is Christmas of this year, but the more I'm learning, even listening to Dr. Fauci this morning, I continue to believe that we're going to be better off getting into January. The goal for us next season is to play a standard season, your other part of your question, 82-game season and playoffs. And further, the goal would be to play games in home arenas in front of fans.
So the one thing I was thinking about this yesterday, the one advantage to starting in January would be that you would have a really good sample size of what the NFL has done and whether they've been able to have a successful season traveling from venue to venue. And I know that the teams don't travel as much as they do in the NBA, but it gives you a nice look.
So far, so good, Rich.
You're right. So by then, if everything is so far so good, all of this talk, because the last thing the league wants to do right now is to start a new season in a bubble, because I guarantee there's going to be players who are just going to go, nope, not going to do it again.
They want fans.
Yeah. Well, no. It's not even the fans part of it. They don't want to be fans.
But they know that they can do it in terms of the players. I mean, they can. I mean, even baseball has figured it out now. They know that they can do it. They're delaying it because they want fans. I mean, why rush it now? Because if you start in January, they believe that there's a chance they could get fans in the winter, I guess, is what they would assume. Because
sure, at the tail end of it, right?
Because
kind of coincides with when the vaccine would be coming out, right?
Yeah, there's going to be places where they allow fans. I mean, there's just going to be places that they do, and the longer they wait, the more that they think that they're going to have arenas with fans in them. So
the big difference is indoor versus outdoor.
I think that at a certain point that it's just going to happen.
I think it's more about the reaction of the players, and we'll talk about something a little bit later on, but there's, you know, when it comes to NHL and NBA, you know, there has been talk about having to start a new season in a bubble, and most players are like, it's not going to happen.
They're not going to do it.
It's driving them insane.
There's no reason for them to do it.
There's all the testing. They don't have to do it.
The NFL, and I understand it's indoors and outdoors, but if the NFL can do this, and their rosters are 3, 4, 5 times bigger than these other sports.
And by the way, they're going to have fans in probably at least half the arenas. They'll have fans, but by that point,
indoor
for sure.
January. Yep. I don't think they're going to.
Maybe
have
not January, game. But February or March.
Once
at some
vaccine's
point.
Out, sure.
No, I don't even think it requires a vaccine. I think that they're just going to do it. Trust me. We had experts come on and go, they're not going to play college football. There's not going to be any college football. And sure enough, there's college football.
And those leagues that opted out, opting back in, the Pac-12, even though the commissioner is an idiot.
Well, that's the whole thing. The commissioner is a complete moron. But
ultimately, the Pac-12 is going to play too. And they're going to play in about a month or 6 weeks and jam 8 games in.
I mean, we had experts
players
on.
Playing and being tested every day is different than opening and inviting large masses of people who aren't tested.
I'm telling you.
The fans are different.
I'm telling you they're going to have fans. They might not have 18,000 fans, but they're going to have fans.
Yeah.
No, mark my words.
5, 10, whatever it is, 5 grand.
Mark my
words. They'll let some people in the building.
Mark my words.
If they had them indoors before the vaccine, that would truly shock me. Like, that's something that would really surprise me.
Fair enough. But
outdoors, I think it's, there's been a lot of evidence that it's fairly safe if you're spread out outdoors and you're wearing a mask. I mean, that's why, some places are allowing to do it. The indoor one is, that's a whole new ball game. But you know what? Listen, hopefully they get this vaccine out soon and it's safe and everyone's able to get
it. I hope they get
a
vaccine too, but I'm telling you that, I mean, I'm telling you. You should see Newton, what they're doing about not having school. Woofy, woofy.
Okay. now we're talking.
It all comes back to
here
that.
We go.
No. Wait, that's not ridiculous.
No. I'm just saying.
So if in liberal-ass Massachusetts, in the most, I believe, because Barney Frank territory, the most liberal congressional district maybe in the country, has people going crazy protesting all the time over not being in school, can you imagine what it's going to be like in Houston or Orlando? I mean, come on. Give me a break. But again, I'm not fighting for anything. I'm just giving my opinion. I'm not saying if it's safe or not. All I know is that there's an acute problem, which is getting the coronavirus, and then there's a chronic problem, which is all the results of having people not go out. Now, is it safe to be in an arena for coronavirus? No. Do I think that at that point in February that there are going to be states that just say, go do it? Yes. Absolutely.
It depends on how bad it gets this second wave.
Of course.
Gets,
if it gets, if it's like the most alarming.
Because Europe, predictability. Europe, the trends are not good at the moment.
No. Well, no. Yeah. In some places, yes.
Yes.
In Massachusetts, it couldn't get much better.
No, what I'm saying is that's where we look for the indicators.
I understand that, John. But in the places that it's bad, they're still allowing people into stadiums. I'm just telling you my opinion. And based on the track record of everything that's happened, I don't think I'm wrong. Now, I'm predicting something I have no control over. I'm predicting something just based on what's happened already.
Well, then you're saying they'd given up then.
I would say that.
Because you said it was unsafe, but you think that someone's still going
to
do it.
No, I think that you're more likely to get the coronavirus in the arenas, yes. But I think that they're going to let the people in the arenas, absolutely. Because it would have seemed ridiculous in March and April to say that they would have people at football games.
Well,
but
there's evidence, though, now that outside. I know. I think that's what's changed.
I'm not waving a wand and saying everyone get in the arenas. You misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying that there will be fans in arenas. It's not my decision, but I'm saying there will be. And I think that I don't know if there should be or if there shouldn't be, but there are certainly, there's going to have to be a decision not involving sports about weighing the chronic problems that can come out of the coronavirus. If it's a two-way thing. There's an acute problem if you get the coronavirus, and then there's a chronic problem of people not socializing. And so that's the way that things are going to have to be weighed. And that I just think that it's going to be that they're going to allow people, just like we said with college football. We had guys come on and go, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. There's no way they're going to do it. And then I turn on a Kansas State game, and I can't tell there's a virus because the whole stadium's packed. Is that the good thing to do? Probably not. I don't have any control over it. All I'm saying is that there, and my reference to Newton protesting the schools is that I have a point to it. And the point of it is that, again, we're the most left-wing town really, I think, in the country. I mean, Barney Frank was our congressman for years and years and years. And so I got to imagine, and if there's that kind of sentiment and people are that pissed off about sending kids to school in the coronavirus, can you imagine what it's going to be like in, you know, in Florida or in Arizona? Or, you know, people are going to, they're going to do it. And politicians want to get elected. I'm telling you. And money. It's a big money thing. So I'm not saying it's right for arenas. I don't care to go to an arena. I don't need to go to an arena. Probably I wouldn't go to an arena. But I'm telling you, and they probably won't do it here. But I'm telling you that in places, they will have fans at indoor events. I'm telling you they will. I mean, you guys can't see that? That they would do that?
If the trends are as bad here as they are overseas, then no, they probably won't.
See, I think they will. But I agree that that if the models go crazy, like they're saying that they could in the winter, it's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
Let's just all root for a good vaccine quickly.
I'm rooting for a good vaccine, believe me. Do you think I don't want a vaccine?
Let's get it going.
I'm saying, but Jesus, put those kids in school.
Bring Rich back across the water. That's what I say.
I don't know what's so hard about having hybrid teaching. If you want to stay home, stay home. In other towns, you can stay home. If you want to stay home, do the stay home learning. If you want to go to school, have them go to school.
Rich, get on that 18-footer. Fire up the motor and, you know, boat over to Falmouth and catch a ride.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Now we're talking. Now we're talking. I just want to.
If you're a teacher, don't go into school and teach. You don't have to. Go teach from your house. But if you're a kid, if you have a kid in school that doesn't want to go to school, have them learn from home. Open up the school, though. Holy Moses. What do you think middle school's for? Learning your ABCs? For socialization, stupids. Hachi machi. If the teacher doesn't feel comfortable, don't have the teacher come in. Put them on Zoom. Put them on a GD Zoom screen in the classroom.
Yep.
What the hell's going on? All right. Very good.
I got two words for you, Fred. Hybrid model.
Yes. That wouldn't be hard.
Nope.
Have a hybrid model.
If
a teacher's not comfortable, have them teach from home.
My kids are waiting at the bus stop as we speak.
I don't care if there's two kids in the class. Have the two kids hang out.
No.
And if this janitor doesn't want to go in, the janitor doesn't have to go in.
Sure.
I'll pay the janitor not to go in. All right, very good. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.